Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Allow me to take a few moments and share a word with you. We've been going through the book of Matthew, and I'm just going to use one verse just to bring us into a context today. My message today is from Matthew 13, verse 34 to 35, and I want to just share about a mother saying and doing, sayings and doings, the things moms say and the things moms do. And my text, as I pivot from, will be Matthew 13, verse 34 to 35. It tells us in this book of Matthew in the New Living Version, New Living Testament, Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophets. I will speak to you in parables, and I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. So, in this text, it's telling us that Jesus used stories and sayings and tellings to get the message across to people, and this was what he often did. We've done some of those parables. We've covered them already in the weeks past, the sower and the seed. They're all online, and we preached on the one who has and gives, more will be given. The evil one, the enemy, will snatch away seeds that are not solidly planted. And that's a powerful message to remember. We must be solidly planted. The message of parable on good seeds. Good seeds grow in good soil, but bad seeds become weeds. Just a paraphrase. The smallest mustard seed, which meaning the smallest thing, can grow into greatness. Just this powerful parable. And then there's one, whatever you use to inflate your life can make you better or blow you up. Or it can blow you up and make you bitter. That one, I want you to go online and listen and find that verse. I thought I'd make it obscure. But there's one that was preached even last week. Put the good yeast, good things in your life so you will grow up properly. These are parables, and Jesus used stories that were natural. He continuously used these brief illustrative stories which would teach a lesson very quickly, very vividly. When he told these parables, you would vividly imagine what he means, and the specific point would be memorable in your spirit. And these parables would automatically draw out of the mind a pictorial image of what was common to the listener. Things that you heard all the time is what Jesus used, so that we would remember what he is saying and build our lives around these stories. So parables, if you want to know why Jesus used them, they're self-explanatory aids for better living. Self-explanatory aids for better living. And these parables pinpointed the good and the evil of every situation. I'm going somewhere with this. It pinpointed the good and the evil of every and any situation. It demonstrated what people were dealing with, and it alerted the hearers to take notice. Take notice of what you're doing currently, and recognize what you need to be doing so that you don't tolerate what is evil or become a part of what is evil. But in fact, you change your behavior immediately because what you've heard triggers a change in status. So these were daily life situations which Jesus confronted. And I just had to use that to remind us, mothers kind of do the same thing. There are sayings that mothers have used that over the years, I wouldn't say it's tired, because it never gets tired, it just keeps getting rethreaded. But let me share some of these and you'll pinpoint which ones you've heard. If you haven't heard them, well, you'll be hearing them or you'll be using them along the journey. So some mother sayings, and these are tools to help us make the right decision. When a mom used these tools, they were saying something without saying something. They'd say, hold your horses. Ever heard that one? It just meant stop for a moment. because that's what you would do. You're such a pill. Do you know what that one means? Well, see, kids hate swallowing pill, and when mom says you're a pill, it just meant you don't like to swallow it, neither do I. Don't cry over spilt milk. Ever heard that one? Well, you know what? In the old days, the milkman used to bring the milk to the door, and it was like one, you know, case of milk or one bottle of milk for the family. So whoever spilt the milk was in trouble. So they'd probably start crying because there's no cereal for the rest of the week till the milkman comes back. That's why they said, don't cry over spilled milk. And it became a saying that made you realize, don't worry about things you can't change. Isn't that good? This one you've heard. Don't make me turn this car around. How many moms have tried that one? Have you ever turned the car around? No, but it was a good threat. This one, it's more Canadian. Skedaddle on out of here. You ever heard that one? The skedaddle. It wouldn't be of the West Indian culture. They have other words. They don't use skedaddle. Skedaddle is a nice Canadian form. The others, they had something coming with the word. They'd say something and they'd be throwing something at you. I'm not meaning that we're not abusive, please. We just learn better. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Any of you ever heard that as young people? You get that, and you're going, what did they do? But you remember that. I like this one. Shut the refrigerator door. Who do you think you are, the Rockefellers? Now, I changed it because that was an old saying where they used to use the Rockefellers, but no one under the age of 30 knows who the Rockefellers are. So I had to supplement it with, who do you think you are, Elon Musk or Beyonce and Jay-Z's kids? By the way, did you know that Elon Musk's kids, each one is worth $29 billion? And Jay-Z and Beyonce's kids are worth $600 million net worth each? Wow. That's a sad life. It is. What are you going to do with all that? You can't even live. Better be poor and happy. Number 8. Don't make me come in there. And you know they were coming anyways. And then I like this, number 9. What part of no don't you understand? The no part? Take it down a notch. Anybody ever use that one? It's a warning. It just means this is my first time to say to you, stop. And the second time, I'll be through the door. And then this one, we heard it more. Many of you young people didn't hear it, don't hear this much anymore. When I was your age. Do any of you millennials hear that still? Yeah, you still hear it? I thought it died. But you'll be using it, though, once you have kids. I guarantee you, you'll be using it. And then there's, how many times do I have to say to you? That one's used often. Number 13, I've had it up to here. And that goes along with, go to bed, I'm tired. Go to bed, I'm tired. Just process that for a moment. And then I like these two. I just have three more. Do you have ants in your pants or something? Well, the thing is, moms, you use that, but if they had ants in their pants, you're the first one that's crying and whipping the pants off. But it's just a saying. But when they said it, you know exactly what they meant. And I like this one. I actually used this recently with someone I was counseling. Says, if your friends jumped off of a cliff, would you do it? This is a good one. This is a keeper. And the last one is, you don't need it, you just want it. And you're like, yeah, I wanted it. That's why I asked. I share those to say mother's sayings make a statement, and Jesus' saying makes the same statement. Jesus used parables as a way to illustrate to us choices. Choose good and not evil. And these two choices will exist every step of the way in our lives. Everything we do, there'll be a choice, good or evil, right or wrong. And we choose what we do, heed or ignore. When the mom made those sayings, we chose how we're going to respond to it, heed or ignore. And it's the same way the parables remind us, choose. When we ignore, we miss the mark and other lives are devastated. And it's not just our lives that are devastated. Many other lives are devastated. So today, just in the few minutes I have, I'm going to give you a few stories. I'm going to skip through the text. You can always look it up and read it. They're good stories. I'm just going to highlight a few. And I'm going to start with mothers who miss the mark. Because it's not every mother is perfect, but you have a choice of good or evil, right or wrong, our changing behavior, a thought pattern. So here's this mother. I've preached it before because I love this text. This is a mother who catered to the sin of her son. And it's in Judges 17. A man named Micah lived in the hill country. Said to his mother, I heard that you place a curse on the one who stole 1,000 pieces of silver. And she goes, yep, I did. And so the son says to the mother, I'm the one who took the money. But because it was her son that took the money and she put a curse, this is Old Testament, it's not New Testament. We don't put curses on people. And then so she says to the son, the Lord bless you for admitting it. He returned the money to her, and she said, I now dedicate these silver coins to the Lord in honor of my son, and I'll have an image carved and an idol cast. And this always traumatizes me. Imagine, her son sinned, and instead of rebuking him and saying, you should not have stolen my money, how could you have done that? That was wrong, you disappointed me. She's like, oh, my little son, it's my only son, and I can, oh, baby, okay, bless you for admitting that you stole my money. I'll tell you, that would not have been my mother. I would have had a blessing, but it would be different from the blessing she's giving here. And so she says, I dedicate these coins to the Lord, and I'm going to, in honor of my son, the boy stole the money. And she goes, in honor of you, I'm going to have an image carved for you. And from there on, that tribe began to worship idols. Moms, sons, daughters, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And when mom tells you you're wrong, it's for the betterment of your life. But if mom has to cater to your wrong, then she is destroying your future. Because at some point, the idol she's created you to be and the idol she's created for you will destroy you. Can I just give that life lesson this morning to someone? Parents, moms, you cannot cater to the sin because we mothers, you have a natural propensity to love. Love them as no one else could ever love them, but sin is sin and sin must never be catered to. The second story is Matthew 14, 6 to 9. This is a mother who took vengeance by using her child as a weapon. And so here's this one. This is Matthew 14. There was a birthday party for Herod, and Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. And he made a vow, says, I'll give you anything you want. And verse 8, at her mother's urging, the girl said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray. Then the king regretted what he had said because of the vow that he made in front of his guests. He issued the necessary orders. The great John the Baptist was beheaded because a mother who was vengeant. Why was she vengeant? She was vengeant because John the Baptist told her she was living in sin. And because she did not want to deal with the fact that she's living in sin, she said to her daughter, When you go in and the king says he'll give you a gift, ask for John the Baptist's head. I know the Bible is real. There's nothing that happens in society that God has not already sanctioned in the Bible and covered in the Bible. And so this mother used her child as her weapon for vengeance. And I want to share two things here. Mothers, be careful, especially when you have broken relationships. Do not use your children to be the weapon that will fight your battle for you. But leave your children free to love God and to know who God is. And then I want to share daughters and sons. If you know it's wrong, it's wrong. And it doesn't matter who said it. Wrong is wrong. When she said, ask for the prophet's head, that daughter was old enough to dance, or she was old enough to go, no, no, mom, you go ask for the head if you want. And so we've got to realize there's still a time of accountability. And we're in a day where everyone wants to be an individual. But let's be individual by doing what is individualistic, by doing what is right before God, and never what will cause others' lives to be jeopardized. The third story I want to share, 1 Kings 3, verse 16 to 27. These are great stories. By the way, if you're online, if you're not serving the Lord and you're like, oh, I find church boring, you have not read the Bible. If you read the Bible, there is not a movie. In fact, most movies are coming out from this. Now they're demonic, but they're spawning from this. Because the Bible's full of stories that will go, what? What's up? You know, you cannot figure it. So here's 1 Kings 3, 16 to 27. This is a choice before two mothers. I can't read the whole story, but what happened is two prostitutes had a baby. Had babies each. They both had babies like we saw today. And they gave birth, and then one rolled over on her baby, and her baby died. So when she got up the next morning, she took the baby from the other prostitute. And imagine in those times, being prostitutes, they would have lived in little commune life. That's why the Bible's just real. It tells you everything that's ever gone on. And so here they are, and so one baby's dead, one's alive. So the one that woke up and saw her child was dead switched the babies. And so they were fighting over it, and they went to the king for justice. And the woman, the Bible says here, they're arguing. It was your son, it's my son. No, it's mine, it's yours. And so as they argued back and forth, the king said, okay, cut the living child in two and give half to one mother and half to the other. Then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, oh, no, 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 my Lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will neither be yours nor mine. Divide him between us. And the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother. That's this is a story. You go, wow, if this is your first time in church, you're going, this is harsh. No, this is real. What Jesus is showing here, there's always a choice in what we do. And no matter how much we're put out, we need to honor others, even when it's at our hurt. And that's the story that God is, that's the understanding of that story. And so the king at the end of it, he's considered wise because of the decision. He knew that the one that wanted the child to live would want the child to live because it's that's the mother of that child. And at all costs, he'd rather give it up than watch it die. The other one wanted what? Vengeance, revenge, and hate. And we've got to remember in society, we're mingling amongst many people. Let us never allow our hate for what others have to be vindictive. Let us bless others. Today, as we saw all those babies here, let's remember to pray for those mothers. If you hear some baby cry back there one day, go, oh, I came to church and my baby's crying. So what? You cried. We kept you. We need to be honoring others. And sometimes we blame others for the pain, or we blame others for things. Oh, I have this and I don't like that, and hypocrites and this and that. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and say, you know what? I don't know what that person's going through. Many times we're just judging, like, look at that. Look at that. We don't know. So let's just make the right choice and bless everyone. When we lift others up, guess what? We're lifted up higher. Amen? Life lesson. So I want you to know, one missed the mark, one set the standard. And Solomon demonstrated that when hearts are desperately wicked, God will reveal it. So would you, in your own life, would you cause the things of life to not begin to destroy you, but something step over it? Mothers, you've had to forgive a lot. Other mothers, sometimes, I gotta say this, some moms, you're looking and you see some children and you're like, their kids are perfect. Why did she get all perfect kids? And then I have trouble. The sun shines on the good and on the bad. God's not punishing you. God entrusted to you what he knows that you're capable of handling. That person that has someone that you're looking at thinking they're perfect, they could never handle what you've got. But the grace of God is with you. The strength of God is upon you. He knows your capabilities, and he's able to carry you through. Amen? And so here I want to remind us, Jesus' parable always show us that it's not always bad news. Evil is not always the choice of the people, but godly people make godly choices, which means good choices, despite the consequences. So his parables were always showing you good and evil. And I shared with you mothers who missed the mark. Allow me a couple more minutes just to share mothers who changed generations. So here we are now. We've gone three. I'm going to give you three quickly. Exodus 1, 15 to 19. There were two women who took a stand to save the next generation. Their names were Shifra and Puah. The Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, this is during the time of Moses, before Moses was born. He said to the Hebrew women, he said to the midwives, Shifra and Puah, you need to kill all the Hebrew babies because they're having too many babies and we don't want them to overrun Egypt. So he said, midwives, you need to kill them. But the Bible says in verse 17, but the midwives feared God and they refused to obey the king's command and they allowed all the boys to live. So the king called them in and said, why are the boys alive? And the midwives reply, the women of Israel, they're just vigorous. Mothers, that's the wisdom of God. When you make a decision for the next generation, when you make a decision to take a stand, when you make a decision like Shifra and Puah made, you know what they said? They were saying to themselves, the king can call us in and kill us, but we will not let him kill the next generation. And there is a lot of things now destroying the next generation at all levels, but I'm calling on mothers and grandmothers and spiritual moms and aunties, take a stand when you can. Pray for other kids, not just your own. Be a wall of defense spiritually. As you're walking by schoolyards, begin to pray in the name of Jesus, God, protect these kids. As you see the university students, whether they're driving or they're on the bus or you're driving past the university, realize the enemy wants to rip them apart and turn their world upside down. The biggest attack now is about sexuality and who you are. And so we know this is an attack in the sense that there's such confusion. God never created confusion. And when you see confusion, you know the enemy's at work. So we don't fight the people, we fight the enemy. Mothers, you've got a strength, and you've been raised long enough, mothers, aunties, grandmothers, to begin to be the ones to say, devil, they're too young to understand. But I'm old enough to tell you that you're not going to win. Devil, I'm taking my stand for the next generation. I'm not preaching what I don't live. I believe in fighting for the next generation. Oh, how many children do you have, Pastor Marie? Every one of them. Devil, you back up, because the next generation belongs to the kingdom of God. And there's going to be a revival among them. They're destroyed on every side. They're confused on every side. They're beaten on every side. They're oppressed and depressed. That is not what God created. Mothers, be like Shifra and Puah, and let even the Pharaoh, who was the king of the land, know there's a God who will protect and a God who will provide. Oh, glory to God. 2 Kings 4, verse 25 to 31, a mother would not give up on the life of her son. This is a Shunammite woman, a woman that was not a godly woman, but she saw the prophet Elisha. She saw him in a distance. She asked, he came to her home and she blessed him. And mothers, as you bless others that are not of your own household, God will in turn bless you and your family. I'm a living recipient of being blessed exceedingly abundantly because I had a mother who lived to give. We used to wonder, when are we going to get some of that? And she'd be like, you've got so much, you're just spoilt. And she would give and give. But I'll tell you, I'm a recipient of blessings coming upside, downside, all around. There are times, even though she's gone to glory, I can say, God, I'm living in my mother's blessing. Mothers, you will be the ones that will raise up sons and daughters that will live in your blessing because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's this woman. She takes care of the prophet Elisha, and she took care of him, and so he blessed her and prayed for her, and she had a son which she never had. But one day that son died, and when the son died, she went to see him. And here's what we've got to remember. It's a whole message, but I'm preaching 1 minute of it. As she saw him, she went up to him and he says, is everything all right? And she said, the Bible says what? The woman said, everything is fine. Everything's all right. Oh, this is a message I cannot preach today. I'll give it to you another time. But mothers and grandmothers, aunties, when the devil has taken everything from you, don't fall apart and let the kids fall apart with you. Don't fall apart and let the devil push you further. Just look at the situation and go, it's going to be all right. Everything's still going to be all right. Why? My God is able. Isn't that how our grandparents and great-grandparents, my grandma, how you doing? I'm fine in Jesus' name. We're going to have to start speaking it until our soul gets it, until our soul really feels it inside. When she looked at her dead son, she says, it's still fine because God is able to raise him up. There's some dead things in your life, some dead children, and some destruction happening, but it's still all right. Don't let the media, don't let social media tell you it's finished. Don't let the news tell you we're done. We're not done. We're just beginning. And it's time we have some battle axe for Jesus that get ready to take their place. Oh, the last one is this. And worship team, you can come. Ruth, mother-in-law who placed another woman in and generations above her own comfort. Why I threw this one in is Naomi is known as bitter. She was a bitter woman, but she took Ruth along with her despite her bitterness. And this was where they had to leave their country because of all that was happening. And so Ruth had to go out and glean in the fields. And as she went out, she met Boaz, a rich, wealthy man there. But when she came to Naomi, Naomi realized that Boaz was her family. But she did not think of herself in that moment and go, oh, it's my family. He'll take care of me. And Ruth is just a Moabitess, she can go on her own. No, she said, just be patient, my daughter, until we hear what happens. Just sit still. Mothers, get ready to give some good advice to a generation of young women that don't know what to do. What are we going to do? There's no men to marry. Honey, I'm going to pray for you. Sit still, and I'll pray God brings you a good one, not a shoe foot, but a good one in Jesus' name. Had to throw that in there. Ah, glory to God. By the way, young men, I'm not preaching Father's Day, but I'll just give you a 30-second one here. If you stay strong with God, I'll pray you a good, godly, loving wife. If not, I'll pray you one that is ugly. Just letting you know. Stay good with God, and I'll pray you the right one. Mothers. Naomi's name was bitter. No matter what you're going on in your life, don't let your bitterness exude out of your life. But let the joy, let the peace, let the next generation know that you're there for them. Oh, I've been through so much. I tell my stories. You know why I tell my stories to young people, those who want to hear it? I tell it so that they'll be better than me. I've gone through enough that I can tell them how to get around, how to stand, how to make it, how when they're beaten. I will speak into the lives that want to hear. I will share it. I don't have any inhibitions to tell you some of the ups and downs that I've gone through. Why? Because I want everybody else to win more than I won. I want you to be better than I am. Ladies, don't be hiding behind your pain, but let the devil know you did this to me. You put pain in my life, my daughter, my granddaughter, and their friends will not suffer what I suffered because I will be their defense. I will be the one to promote and encourage and build up. And that's, mothers, what we call on God for in your life today. Generations must be impacted. Pardon me, generations are being impacted by the evil of our society. But mothers and grandmothers, spiritual mothers, aunties, place your comfort. Place your comfort, your likes and your dislike, place it below the spiritual life of the next generation. What do I mean by that? Don't let your likes and your dislikes, your comfort and your wants and all of that, don't let it cloud you. Don't let it be the whole focus. On this Mother's Day, I'm charging you. Let's beat up the enemy. Did you hear what Mother Grace McCarthy said? Let's kick the enemy to the curb, not just for yourself and your children, but for generations. Because you might bless somebody who's going to bless your grandchildren. They may be the teachers or the doctors for your children. So let's get ready. And I just want to say to mothers who've kept your children outside of the church that the Bible tells us, and it's coming up later, He says, I will put a millstone around your neck if you cause any to stumble. So let us prepare to do what? Let's prepare to see another generation come into full worship unto the Lord. Anybody hear me today? So Jesus' words requires action. It requires a choice. It requires decision. So I want moms, there's too many of you today to call forward. But I want every mother, every grandmother, every woman in this place, every auntie, even young aunties, cousins, you know, you have a responsibility for the next generation. We have lived, we have loved, we've had, we've done. But there's a generation coming. Everything has been stripped from them. But we carry a candle. We carry a light in our soul that says, oh, because of my experience, devil, you're going to be sad. There should be something in you that says, devil, because of what I've gone through and lived through, because of my blessings or my beatings, whichever one, you're not going to mess up anyone that's around me. And that should be the fight in every mother's spirit. So I close with this. God has given us every tool we need to live out godly lives. Moms, I speak it into you. I'm not going to today do an altar call, but if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've got to start there, because you can't do this fight without God. You can't have this peace without God. You can't share this love without God. But mothers, I'm going to encourage you. We're in a day where you have to abandon yourself more. And put on your armor greater. Put on your armor, because we're in a spiritual fight. And the spiritual fight is not about you, it's about the next generation. And we have a responsibility to them. Amen? I had to share this message today. Every woman, every person, would you bow your heads? Father, Jesus, help us to make the right decision. Good and evil is always at the door, but we get to make the choice. Help us, oh God, to do what matters, not to be like the women, oh God, who didn't care what the results were as long as they got their own way. Help us, every one of us, oh God, to not miss the mark, but instead, oh God, to be like the ones who sacrificed everything. The Shifra and the Pua, who sacrificed their own life to save a generation. The Naomi, who God would say, okay, it's not about me now. Let me make sure she's protected and taken care of. The Shunammite woman that looked at the dead thing in her life and said, it shall still be well, for God, the man of God, is with me. So, Father, I pray that into every spirit, encouragement. I speak, oh God, a cloak of righteousness upon your people, and especially on your mothers and grandmothers. I pray, oh God, that women today will take up the mantle to pray. We've stopped praying. Many have stopped praying for the generations. Many are so consumed with their own lives, they're not praying. And oh God, I ask you today, burden the hearts of every mother that prayer is the battle axe that we use to beat the enemy. So, Father, if we're going to defeat the enemy, every woman has to take up the tool of prayer. So we bless them today and encourage them in the name of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.